My name is Evelyn Vitito, and I'm talking with Dolores Benson here in Jefferson County. Today's date is May the 19th, 1983. Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes.
Just to make sure my records are correct, would you please spell your full name?
D-O-L-O-R-E-S. Dolores Benson, B-E-N-S-I-N-G.
And your husband's name?
Thomas Benson.
Okay. And what is your occupation, Dolores? Where do you work?
I work 3 or 4 days a week at Fire the Kroger Company in retail.
And what is your husband's occupation?
Well, he works at Ford Motor Company in quality control.
And what is your address?
4310 Conium Drive. It's spelled C-O-N-A-E-M.
And how long have you lived here?
23 years this June.
And where did you live before that?
On 41st Street.
And what's your parents' name?
My father's name was Dion, but they called him Don. Dion McDaniels. It was spelled M-C-D-A-N-E-L-D. And my mother's maiden name was Giacometti. Her name was Victorine Giacometti. And it was spelled G-I-A-C-O-M-E-T-T-I.
And what did they do?
My father owned a coal company. And my mother was she worked in a bank. She was the first female teller in the city of Louisville.
I'm going to stop now and check the tape. All right, and what is your religion?
Is it not?
Yes.
Catholic.
Tell me about your children.
Okay. John is my oldest, and he is 28, and he is an artist. He teaches art in a school in Crestwood, Kentucky. He's married and has a little boy, 18 months old, named Christopher. My second one is Linda, and she is assistant chief tech in the radiology department at Jewish Hospital. She has 2 children, Dana, 4, and Matthew, 3 weeks old. And Don is 26, and he and his wife, Teresa, are expecting a baby in June, which will be their first. And then Stephen is 22, and he is still not married.
And what is your age and birth date?
I was born May the 12th, 1929, and I just turned 54.
And your schooling? Tell me about your schooling.
I graduated from Shawnee High School and I went to U of L and took classes. I had some credits there, mostly in psychology. Because I've always loved people, and I've always had this great desire to be able to understand others. And then throughout the years, I've taken a lot of courses in psychology, and then sewing classes and quilting classes. And still want to take some classes in design and art.
Well, then, where did you learn to quilt?
I've always wanted to quilt from little girl on, I guess. And so I learned of a group of women at the Frankfort Avenue Lutheran Church who quilt every Wednesday. And they were willing to teach others who wanted to come up there. So I went up, and they taught me to quilt. And I wasn't working at that time, and so I continued to go to help them out because they taught me. And I went for a year and a half and ever Lindsay and quilted with them.
And was there a period of time when you had to lay it back and were too busy to quilt after you got into it?
Oh, yes. when you work, that happens very frequently, which is frustrating.
When is your favorite time to quilt, and how much time do you spend quilting? What time of day?
Well, I just have to quilt whenever I can. With working, some days I quilt 6 or 7 hours, and other times I quilt, as I did the other night. I came in here about 8 and quilted till 1:30 in the morning. And sometimes I might come in here and quilt less than an hour. Just, you know, it's almost like a stolen moment, you know, with my quilt.
Where do you get your designs, and what's your favorite pattern?
Well, I've always loved the Dresden plate. That was always a favorite. And so this, the one I'm working on now, which is my first full-size quilt that I've gotten this far with, I'm now quilting it. And it's the Dresden plate. It has, it's on a 16-inch block of white block. And I'm doing it in I have 4 different pieces of material for the plate, and then the circle in the middle is a dark green, but the plates are, one is blue, gray blue with white dots, tiny white dots, and it's also what I'm using for the stripping. And another one is a brown background with flowers, very just random, just flowing and growing, blue and blues and greens and olives and reds. And then there's another piece of fabric in it that is a rose, an old rose color, I would say, with sort of an off-white tiny little flower in it. And then I have a stripe with some of the same colors again, the rose and the blue and some green. And my son, I told him that I wanted to quilt a flower with flowing vines and leaves going completely around the plate on the white block. And so I'm not an artist like he is, so I tried to draw for him, as I said, in my kindergarten fashion, what I wanted. And so he drew a design, and the third time he drew it, I said, oh, that's just what I want. So he suggested that I do it in blue, use blue thread. And so I really like that idea, because it picks up the blue in my strips and in the plate. And so I'm on the 9th block right now. I have 20 blocks all together.
What makes a good quilt, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I think planning. I never did like to plan as my sign in the kitchen, plan ahead, that I told you. I like to just get right into it. You know, I hate to have to stop and wash my fabric. You know, I just want to come right home and cut it out and start. But I have learned that you cannot do that and have a good quilt. You have to plan it out, and you have to draw it out on paper and see what the overall thing looks like before you really start cutting.
Do you like piecing or quilting better?
I love all of it, but I love the quilting. The because my flowers, even though I'm on the ninth block, I still, I love seeing it take shape. The flower seems to come alive in front of you. It starts puffing out and standing up, and it's just, and you just get hooked on this, you know. You just, every chance, it's like a crossword puzzle or something, or a puzzle. You, every time you pass the room, you want to come in and pick up the needle and start working again on it.
Have you ever quilted in quilting bees?
The closest thing to a quilting bee, I guess, would be the ladies at the church who quilted every Wednesday. And these were quilt tops that people brought in that they had put together, or they had cross-stitched, or sometimes they had pieced the top together. And they didn't know how to quilt, though, and so we would quilt, put it together, put the layers together for them, and quilt it for a very nominal fee. And there was about 25 women who sold every Wednesday, and we could usually get a quilt done in 3 weeks with that many women working on it. And we worked like from 8:30 to about 2:30 every Wednesday.
How did you have the, what kind of a frame did you have this in?
Well, these were long poles with the fabric stapled onto them, onto the poles, so that we could pin the quilt to this fabric. And we would start out with people sitting completely around the quilt with the quilt opened all the way out. And they would just prop these poles on chairs. And then they used what do they call things that they tightened up on the end onto the two poles. Anyway, as we went, we had people sitting on the sides to keep up the sides, and then when we would get to the middle, of course, where our knees were touching, when we got to the middle and we had it rolled all up.
Had you been in any other groups or clubs?
Yes. Well, after I learned there with those ladies, and then I took some classes, and one of the classes I took was from Alice Bandy. And from this class, the Nimble Thimbles Quilting Club was born, and then we made the balloon quilt, and where I learned a lot of techniques that I'm using now, which it was a learning experience, working on the balloon quilt. We sold to Porter Paint, and it hangs at Porter Paint, and it depicts the balloon race that we have Derby Week here in Louisville, and the balloons going across the skyline, I guess you'd say, and the river in the foreground, and the old steamboat going up the river.
What advantage is there to quilting with a group?
Well, when I quilted with the ladies at the church, I learned something from every one of those ladies, and not just about quilting. I learned a whole lot about life from them. They were all older ladies, and I think I really got a whole lot out of it in more ways than one.
Do you have any opinion about a Kentucky quilt? What do you think makes up a Kentucky quilt is distinct from any other quilt?
I always think of a Kentucky quilt as having something about horses, because we're famous for our race horses and beautiful horses. I have seen some really beautiful quilts with that theme. Of course, going further back than that, like the quilt I saw hanging in the museum recently and up in town, all of these quilts were made in the 1800s. And of course, none of those had that theme. One was a church where I think almost everybody in there worked on that quilt and had their name quilted onto the quilt. And there were some crazy quilts. And I was really surprised at the work, because we tend to think of people back in those days not knowing what we know now with all our technology. You know, we tend to think we're really smarter than them, but the work that I saw, I was really amazed. It was incredible. The stitches, I don't think women today, we don't do as much quilting on a quilt as they did. And I don't see as tiny a stitch as these women did. And so their work was really incredible.
Have you taught others to quilt?
A few friends I have, but I've turned this bedroom into a quilting, or a sewing room, what really is quilting. And within the hopes that, well, the quilt I'm making now, I have in a hook that sits on a stand. And since it's my first full-size quilt, I don't want anybody else working on it but me. I want to say that I did the whole thing by myself. But someday I'd like to have a frame where, and I would really like to have a group where we could have a quilting bee and all of us work on quilts together.
What about books and magazines and things like that? Do you have very many?
Enough that I'm going to have to build a room onto the house. Because I can't bear to part with any of them. I take Quilter's newsletter, and there's a Ladies Circle quilt magazine, and a quilt, one called Quilt. There's one, a quilt omnibus that I just bought. And then I have all kinds of quilting books. I bought three recently at a Jenny Byers workshop. One is on medallion quilts. And the really neat thing about that book is that she has done a lot of research on the history of medallion quilts.
Do you use these patterns that you see in books and magazines, or do you make up your own?
The only pattern that I've used out of a book is the Dresden plate. And now that I have all these books, the more that I get into it, I find that I want to experiment and do my own designing. The two baby quilts I have finished for grandchildren were my ideas, and the turtle quilt. My son, the son that is expecting now, when he was a little boy, I could tell that. When he was a little boy, he had a favorite turtle that he slept with every night. And every night when we would put him to bed, my husband and I would say goodnight, Don, and he'd say goodnight. And then we'd say, good night, turtle, and he'd say, good night. And we thought that was so funny. We would go, it became a ritual, we'd do it every night. And so then when they told me they were expecting, I knew that I wanted a turtle as the theme for their baby quilt. So I went to my oldest son, John, and I said, can you sketch me some kind of a turtle? And so we sat down, and he drew for 2 hours, and turtles in all kinds of positions, and walking, and and doing all sorts of things. But the one that I really liked best was a turtle that he drew laying on his back, and with a sort of a benign expression on its face, and so I said, that's the one I like, let's go with that, let's see what we can do with that. So then he thought of an idea of having the turtle look like he was lying on his back on a raft, and just really laid back, as the expression goes lately. And so he went with me, and we selected greens and yellows for the turtle, and then we selected for the raft a fabric that was a striped fabric with reds, blues, greens, and yellows, and so that was going to be my raft. And I got a real thick bedding, a really fat bat, because I wanted the raft, I wanted it to look like a raft, really look authentic and roll like a raft does. And so then he had sketched the turtle, and I got him to enlarge it for me. And then I had to think how I was going to actually put this thing together. I really had to put a lot of thought into the technique I was going to use, and so I used a technique that we used on balloon quilt, and that I put the turtle together and then quilted him. I talk as though he's real. I quilted him first, and I put extra padding in his stomach, so. And then I quilted like kind of irregular shaped blocks to make it really look like a turtle's stomach or belly. And then when I had quilted the turtle, and I embroidered his benign expression, his face, and the wrinkles in his neck, and I embroidered all that. Which took me a whole Sunday afternoon doing just that. But then when I had completed all of this, I put it onto the main piece of fabric, the striped fabric. And then after that, I got down on the floor and I laid out my lining and my fat bat and put the quilt on top of that, and found that, well, the batting was so thick that I had to resort to going to the sewing machine to sew down the stripes, which I sewed every fourth or fifth stripe over it so that I would get the effect of a raft. But I had to loosen my tension on the sewing machine and put it on there. And even then it was kind of difficult. and then I called my son. I was really excited. I said it even acts like a raft, because when I tried to move it, it folded over and it hit me in the head just like a real raft. And then I took some bias tape and made a little and a little button so that it looked like a little valve stem on a real raft where you blew it up.
That's very interesting. Do you know any men quilters?
Not personally. When I was in Asheville, North Carolina, to see the Biltmore House, it was in October, a couple of years ago, and I met couples who were retired. Some of them were, and the husband had gotten interested in quilting from watching his wife, and. So they had pillows and quilts and wall hangings and all types of things, and were going to the different shows and selling them to help make a living, I guess. And I found too that the women were the ones who stuck more to the old traditional patterns, and the men were more the innovators that they wanted to try something different.
Then you, most of your quilts you either keep for yourself or give to the children. That
yes, after all the work that I do, Oh, as we were talking, when you, with this quilt I'm doing now, you experience a whole gamut of emotions, I guess, because there's times when you feel rather lonely. And then, but it sometimes I just, you know, I feel like it's just me and my quilt and everything else seems to drop away. But I know I'm going to remember probably the rest of my life thoughts that I had while working on it, things that I worked out in my mind about my life and different, it's like therapy.
Do you have any old quilts, and what do you do with them when they get worn?
I have I'm holding an old quilt here that my mother made, and I think that it must have been the only quilt she ever made. Evidently, maybe that was enough for her, one quilt, but it's big green leaves and green blocks done on a white background, and it's in very bad shape, but I don't know how it got to be this bad. I don't even know if I can repair it, but if I can, I'm going to try.
And have you ever entered anything in shows or contests or fairs?
I haven't yet, but I'm trying to finish my Dresden plate in order to enter into the National Quilt Show this year. It's held yearly, and this year it's going to be in Belbuckle, Tennessee.
Have you seen a change in attitude toward quilting over the last years, as far back as you can remember?
Yes, very much. For a while, I think things they go full circle. They'll be very popular for a while, and then they sort of slow down, and something else comes along to take the place of that. And when I first married, I learned to crochet, and recently I went to find a 6-cord crocheted bedspread cotton and couldn't find it, because now everything in the stores it's all quilting supplies. But when I was in my 20s, everything was crocheted, and I was living in Louisiana at the time, and my husband was still in the service, and everybody there crocheted, and you seldom ever heard of anybody quilting. You knew a few people, but you didn't, you know, they were just, you just didn't know very many people who did that. As I was telling you about the late, well, my father was in the coal business, and my mother and I used to go on trips with him when he would make calls on customers. And we went all through Kentucky. I used to see quilts hanging out on lines, on the clotheslines. I think they might have been for sale, some of them. One place we went in Indiana was Orleans, Indiana. And it was, my mother and I became acquainted with the lady who lived in the house next to the dairy where my daddy went. He sold coal to them. And so she invited us in, and she would show us her quilts. And so it got so that when we went up there, we would go to visit her and sit on the porch, and she'd bring lemonade out, and she would always show us her latest quilt. And that was the first, as far back as I can remember, that's when I really thought that I would like to do that someday. And my mother had two quilts, one that she made and one that I don't know who made it. I thought perhaps her older sister, Delphine, might have made it. It was a crazy quilt. And it was, and my mother used to say, this was my dress, and this one over here was a dress, and this was my sister's dress. And it was done with all the fascinating embroidery stitches that go around the pieces in a crazy quilt.
What are your favorite colors?
Well, reds, blues, and browns and yellows, warm colors.
Mm-hmm. What kind of frames or hooks do you use? What's your favorite?
Right now I'm using a hook on a stand.
I was asking if you had seen any change in the materials lately, on the care of quilts.
I used to see people use a lot of prints, calicoes and prints, for quilts. And I used to think that people used, especially people who lived on farms, used feed sacks even and things like that, but they really, I was surprised at the quilt show that of the 1800s, the quilts made then, the beautiful fabrics that they had. I think one quilt there even, the fabric came from Europe, but we tend to think that they didn't have what we have, but the fabrics they had were really beautiful, and I was, you know, really surprised at how pretty they were. But a change in attitude, I think, that I wanted to talk about. It really upsets me to think how many hours and hours and goes into months and years that you work on a quilt. And I think that we're finally getting over to people, even in the most remote sections, I sure hope so, because the care of quilts, and after somebody sits and makes, spends all that time, then you see, like a couple that we know bought a farm not long ago and found a quilt that out in the barn, thrown over something. And or maybe some have seen people let their dogs sleep on a quilt, you know, and I think, oh Lord, you know, now that I quilt, that just goes right through me to think, you know, all the work that went into this, all the handwork and the hours and hours, and then for somebody to not care any more than that. And I think that maybe that we have talked enough about it and there's been enough written on this subject that maybe people will think twice before they mistreat a quilt like this.
What kind, you've mentioned that you've done applique and the patchwork. Have you done any embroidery or crewel or any other kind of stitch?
Yes, I've done cross stitching. I have a quilt that I started probably in my early 30s. It was a Fusilla kit sold in the stores. All cross-stitched, marked for you and everything. And I started that, but I was so busy with the children. And for a while I felt like I lived in the car. I'd taken them here and there for, you know, swimming lessons and different things. Then I started to work. In 1970, I went back to work. I had a full-time job as a secretary for 6 years. So I really had very little time, you know, for something like quilting, but I used to make all my clothes and all of my daughter's clothes, the boys complained because I sewed for us all the time, so I made them shirts and some bathrobes. I've also done embroidery work, and I have a sign that I crossed it, plan ahead, which I really like because when you get to ahead, the last letters are dropping down, and so the person who planned this didn't plan it very well and didn't have room for the whole two words, which made me think of myself, and all I have to do is look at that and know that I have to sit down and plan my quilts. But I've loved crocheting or embroidery or cross stitching or anything to do with sewing or handwork.
Do you sign your quilts or do you have a logo?
I don't have a logo yet, but it's still in the planning. But the first quilt that I completed for Christopher, my grandson, I just took a piece of fabric and a piece of white fabric and put it in my typewriter and typed made for Christopher Bensing by his grandmother, Dolores Bensing, something of that sort. I think I put the date, the year that I did it, and I just sewed that onto the back of the quilt.
Well, what do you plan next? What are your next projects?
Well, as I said earlier, I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to finish all the things I want to do. I want to make a crazy quilt. I've always been fascinated with those since the one my mother had. And I know the name of, I've named it already, haven't made it, but I've named it already. I want to use calicoes, and I collect velveteens when I see them on the remnant tables. And I have a box of those, and I'm going to make it with velvets and calicoes, and I name the quilt From Rags to Riches. And then I have another idea in my head that I haven't put on paper yet that I want to do on the, it's going to be a family history type thing. And in the corners I want to put, in one corner I want to put a scene of Italy because that's where my grandparents came. On my mother's side they came from Italy. And in another corner I wanted to put a scene from Ireland, which is where my daddy's people came from, and the other two corners, I guess I'd put from a scene from Germany, because that's where my husband's both parents, their families came from. And then somehow in the middle, I would like to maybe work out maybe I'll put a family, a tree or something with some of the names, and I'm still, it's in the planning stage still.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you think of anything else that you would like to talk about?
I want to design some quilts of my own. Now that I have all the books on the traditional patterns, I find that I want to make some of my own.
Well, that's very good. Thank you, Dolores. It's been a good interview. Thank you very much.